Hello and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono. Happy New Year.
Hello and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Anil Lewis and Happy New Year. Wow. See, I learned from example. I am trainable.
You can be taught.
Yes, I can.
Name the movie.
I don't know that one.
Oh, Aladdin.
Oh, really?
The genie, yeah. He can be taught.
The genie, I remember, itty bitty living space.
Anyway, we digress already.
Already.
And, you know, we had a resolution to make this podcast, you know, more professional and, you know, I don't know. I guess that one just gone. Gone.
Wow. There you go. Resolutions. That's a nice segue, though.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I can do that once in a while. That is the topic of today's episode, isn't it? Resolutions.
Yes, it is. And we have a lot of interesting interviews for you about resolutions. How many of you, by a show of hands, have resolved to get fit, to lose weight? How many?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see. A sea of hands.
There you go. And then the follow-up question is, how many of you have already fallen short of that?
And you know what? Honestly, that is why I don't make resolutions per se.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make life changes when I can. I do my very, very best, but I have just decided that resolutions to me come with way too much guilt when I fall short, so I just don't do it anymore.
Well, whether you call it resolutions or life-changing
yes.
statements, that's what we're talking about in this podcast.
Yes, we are. And I had a chance to interview Katie Reakin, and she has a really nice story.
Mm-hmm.
She actually made a resolution. I don't know if she called it a resolution. I didn't ask her that. But she
changes.
Exactly. Yeah. But she has made a lot of life changes in order to be more fit. You know, she just felt like she was a little too sedentary, and she's in a profession where she really can't stand up and walk around, and you'll hear the profession. She's actually in a very interesting profession, I think.
Oh, look at this. This has turned to a nice teaser.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear the interview.
It will be great because it was a great interview. But she not only got more fit and started eating better, but she really did it on a budget because she was a student when she was trying to make all these changes. And
nice.
She didn't have a lot of money to throw away going to the gym. And just that motivation to go somewhere outside your house and make yourself sweaty for an hour.
And some even actually pay
yes,
to do that. Yeah.
Yes. And that, again, that's not me. And I would dare to think that that's probably not Katie either, because she talks all about how she, in the comfort of her own home, was able to just do small things to help her get more fit and to make those life changes.
All right. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, let's listen to this interview. I have the pleasure of talking this morning to Katie Reakin. Katie is from Nebraska, correct?
Sort of. I was from Nebraska. Now I'm in Minneapolis.
Oh, my goodness. So you moved to Minnesota. Excellent. Well, I hope
yes.
that's been a good move for you.
It has been. And, you know, I was told by people from Nebraska that I'll always be a Nebraskan. So, you know.
Once a Nebraskan, always a Nebraskan.
Exactly.
Well, I hope you are enjoying your time in Minneapolis so far. That's
yes.
great. So we are here to talk about getting in shape, and particularly getting in shape and exercising when you're on a budget. And I was told that you have a lot to say about this topic. So I would love it if you could just start out by talking a little bit about kind of the techniques that you've used to exercise and get yourself in shape without breaking the bank.
Yeah. Okay. So when I was going through, I'm a court reporter, so I was going through court reporting school, and it took a little bit of a while. So I, at some point, just because there's diabetes on both sides of my family, I got a little concerned about my health, and I wanted to make sure that I was as healthy as I could be. So I actually started logging my food with my MyFitnessPal, which is a free app on the App Store. And when you're logging your food, you pay a lot more attention to what you're eating, because you can't just grab a handful of Doritos and say, oh, that's just a handful of Doritos. I won't be held accountable for that, because you have to say, I ate 14 Doritos, and these are the calories that it was. So there was that. And then I started looking for audio workouts, and I did find the Eyes Free Fitness workouts, which sadly she's not in business anymore, but the workouts are still available. And they did a lot of description for those. So I got like, I think 10 pound weights on Amazon. I think they're about $15. And so I just started exercising with those, doing squats. And my sister's an occupational therapist, so I talked to her to make sure that I was doing things right and not damaging myself. Mm-hmm. And she did say that, you know, if you're feeling pain of a certain, like a sharp pain or a pain that is a little bit more intense than, oh, I'm working out and this hurts, then you should stop and change what you're doing because you're probably doing it wrong. Gotcha. So that was helpful.
Yeah, it's nice to have people in the family that can give you that type of advice. That's really interesting, though, too. I wouldn't probably have thought, unless I had a relative that was an occupational therapist, I might not have thought to consult with one of those. But I mean, I'm sure anybody that has any kind of a relative who's occupational therapy, physical therapy, I mean, of course, a fitness trainer or just somebody even that works out a lot might be able to give some type of that advice for free.
Yeah.
That's great. So you basically did weights and squats and things like that and went through some audio workouts. Did you do anything else?
Yeah, I did some ab exercises like sit-ups, crunches, planks. I used to do a very impressive like 2-minute plank. I kind of fell off that when I started working, unfortunately, but I want to get back into it. Yeah, like ab exercises. And I have started doing a combination of squats and weights, which is, you know, you as you squat down, you lift the weights up, mm-hmm. which you have to be like, just keep your balance and be careful with that. Like, I wouldn't start out that way if you're just starting out, because it is a little bit, not tricky, but I think you have to be a little bit in the intermediate level of exercising before you try something like that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, for me, I have a Fitbit, and that has really helped keep me accountable as well. And I know there's lots of different ways that you can be accountable, but you talked about tracking your food. For me, I really enjoy tracking my steps and being accountable, really trying to get that 10,000 steps by the end of the day. And so even things like just walking around when I'm on a conference call instead of just sitting there, or while I'm cooking lunch, you know, doing a couple laps around the kitchen while my food heats in the microwave. I mean, it's kind of silly and it sounds silly, but by the end of the day, most days, I have my 10,000 steps. And it's not that I'm hiking miles and miles outside, especially in the winter when it's colder and icy and snowy and that type of thing, where it might not be, particularly in Minneapolis or somewhere really cold where you might not want to be going outside and walking. I've just been doing some things just in my house just to make sure that I'm at least up and moving. Maybe I'm not to the squats and that type of stuff yet, but at least I'm up and moving and I'm getting my 10,000 steps every day.
Yes. And walking is also, I mean, I have a seeing eye dog. So walking is a thing that, you know, I was doing anyway. Just walking is always good. If you don't know like where to start with exercising, walking is a good place to start, I think.
Yeah.
Any kind of walking.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. So how about cooking and that type of thing? You were saying that you're really concerned about your food and sort of tracking your food. Did you start cooking in a different way because you were tracking your food? And I think you live by yourself, so you're kind of cooking for one. Are there ways that you figured out how to do some healthy meals? And I know sometimes cooking for one person is really hard because then you have a ton of leftovers and you might not want to eat them all, or you might not be able to eat them all. And I don't know, I never liked cooking for one person. Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, I mean, it can be a little bit of a challenge. I usually made sure that I was having some protein and kind of keeping track of how much sugar intake. So I just didn't realize there was so much sugar in so many things. Like even fresh fruit, if you have too much of that, it really adds up on your sugar. Not that you shouldn't eat fruit, but just be aware of like how much sugar is in each one. But yeah, cooking is, I usually just cooked things and put them in like individual containers, made sure what I was cooking was freezable and just put it in the freezer, because then there were nights when I really didn't want to cook. Hey, I have stuff in the freezer. I can just warm up. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I did with my friend Karen, I did a, like what we called a food swap. So we'd find two recipes that we wanted to do, or more than two, and we would cook it and then divide it in half and trade with each other.
Oh, that's a really good idea. And that must have made cooking for one a little bit more enjoyable, because you knew someone else was going to be eating part of it. And then you got something that you didn't have to cook that was new and different. That's really cool.
And I mean, a lot of times we would cook together as well. And it's so much more fun cooking with someone.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. As long as you have a big enough kitchen, it can be a little bit,
right.
a little bit hairy when you're in each other's space. At least I think
right, which is a fun time in my little studio in Minneapolis, but you know.
Absolutely. And is there any place that you have found particularly good for getting recipes, or do you just sort of search on the internet in general?
I just type it into the good old Google and see what
mm-hmm.
comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else that you'd like to share? So basically, I mean, it sounds like you just did 10-pound weights, and that was really the only thing that you bought aside from making sure that you downloaded the different apps. Was there a cost for the audio workouts that you downloaded?
I believe there was. I think they were like $15 or something, but right now, IS Free Fitness, they have them all for free on their website.
Oh.
She does say that she wants donations. Like she would, if you can, she would like you to donate a little bit just to keep the workouts up. Because you know, her business is closing down. But she, you know, she has some great stuff.
And his website, IsFreeFitness.com?
Either that, I think it's blindalive.com.
Oh, blindalive.com. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Well, that sounds like a wonderful resource. We'll have to check those out.
Definitely. And yeah, and like I did start out with 10-pound weights, and then I'm now on 20-pound. So you can, like, if you feel like it's getting too easy, you can mm-hmm. look into getting some more. If not, then you can just increase your repetitions if you can't afford more weights.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me about fitness, and I really enjoyed it. And I hope that you continue to be healthy and explore your new city and find other ways to stay fit in this new year.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Wow, I wish I would have heard that interview before I signed up for my subscription at Planet Fitness.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you can always cancel.
No, it comes with penalties.
Oh.
Yeah. What a great story.
Yeah. No, it's really good. Really good. Particularly cooking for one. I just find that, well, President Riccobono will tell everybody that cares to listen that I cook because I have to. So cooking's not really my favorite thing to do.
Eat to live, not live to eat.
Pretty much. Well, no, I live to eat other just people's cooking.
Nice.
Truly. But I eat because I'm able to, or I live because I'm able to eat my own.
Gotcha.
But I just find cooking for one, I found it always really difficult. So yeah. I think her tips were really, really right on the money.
Nice. My aunt had this whole thing. She stopped cooking when she retired. She would go to a place called Piccadilly. I don't know if we have one here in Baltimore, but it's a little cafeteria style restaurant. You go down and you select from all the different choices to mm-hmm. build your plate. And she says, I get to that line and I fed my whole family.
Nice. That's great.
So to talk to some of the non-traditional resolutions that are out there, because that health seems to be a really common thread, losing weight, those types of things. There's also a different type of resolution that we found that many people made. And we have a program within the Federation that helps support that resolution, especially for blind people.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly it's exciting because the resolution involves reading more,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe relaxing more. You know, I think you have kind of the two sides of the coin. You have those people that really want to get fit and get active, and then you have those that are saying, you know what, I really need to slow down and I really need to do more reading and do mm-hmm. more relaxing for myself. And as a blind person, it's getting easier and easier to get books, but they're still hard copy Braille yeah. books are yeah. still not always super easy to come by. But this new program actually takes that away, which is super exciting.
Yep. I had an opportunity to talk about the program with Patricia Maurer, who's our Director of Community Relations here at the National Federation of the Blind, but also serves as the liaison for the American Action Fund. So let's take a listen to our interview talking about Share Braille. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. This is Anil, and I have the pleasure of speaking with the Director of Community Relations for the National Federation of the Blind, Ms. Patricia Maurer. How are you doing, Ms. Maurer?
I'm doing just great, Anil. Thank you.
Well, good. There's so many things we could talk about because we have so many shared interests. But in line with our theme for the podcast, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. And one of the New Year's resolutions that I and many others have made is to read more, become more literate and engaged through the written word. We've had our increase in our Braille challenges across the country. We just finished our Braille Readers or Leaders program, and the Libraries for the Blind are doing lots of competitions around reading. So we're trying to focus on reading. So why is Patricia Maurer here? Well, you guys may know that Patricia Maurer has volunteered for the National Federation of the Blind for 28 plus years, and now she's finally made it to be staff member.
Finally got there.
There you go. Along with many of her responsibilities in the community relations department, she's also our liaison through the programs that we collaborate with our American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. So you have lots of many hats that you wear.
Oh, I love it too.
Yeah. What do you love most about it?
I love most about it the fact that I get to talk to people all the time about the new programs we start up, and we're always starting up something new, and a lot of those times I get to be part of those new things.
That's so beautiful, and we love to play on that energy. So with this podcast, we're talking about a unique collaboration between the National Federation of the Blind and the American Action Fund, and that's our Share Braille program. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Share Braille?
So the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults has had for many years a library for kids in California, and last year the library closed down for a variety of reasons, one being that the building was sold out from under us, and another being that the volunteers were not in a position to continue some of their work there. And so we had all these books, and we decided we'd bring them to Baltimore. And I think maybe when we started, we weren't completely sure what we were going to do with them. We have at least 20,000 books.
Wow.
I don't know exactly how many volumes that is, but it's a lot of Braille, and it came on many, many pallets. And we started looking at these things and said, why don't we give these books to blind children and adults?
That's a great idea, because I mean the literacy rate of blind children is decreasing. We recognize the efficacy of Braille and how it has a direct correlation to actual employment of people who are blind, but less than 10% of our school-aged children are being taught Braille. So one of the ways that we're trying to impact that is to let's give away more Braille for kids to read.
And so we created Share Braille, and Share Braille is real simple. I thought you'd never ask. So you go to the actionfund.org website and find it there, or you simply type in sharebraille.org and you set up your account, and then you can begin to look at books that are up there either by category or by title.
Mm-hmm.
Pick something you want, say that you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. We'll mail it to you.
So individuals can sign up for free.
That's right.
And then they put in their information, and they can go through an online catalog of books and have those books shipped to them. Are we the only distributors of the books?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So now the other option, of course, is not just our books, because anybody can go to Share Braille. So if you have a Braille book you don't want anymore in your house, just one or maybe 100, whatever you have, you can also put them up there. And then mail a book directly to the person that wants your book.
So you can share your Braille books.
You got it.
See, I get it now. It makes so much sense. The branding makes so much sense. Share Braille. So is there kind of a circulation? So let's say I order a book from our repository here. Is that mine to keep? Do I have to send it back? Am I able to share it with others who request it?
I think we don't want you to send it back. You know? The idea is that you share it with somebody else.
Okay,
so you could put it back up and share it with someone. But
got
if
it.
You're enjoying it and you want to keep it for the next 5 years,
you can keep it.
You can. Or forever.
Nice.
It's yours.
Man, what a wonderful program.
It really is.
Yeah, so books should be free.
They should.
That's nice. Can you give us an example of some of the more interesting titles we have?
Well, I just looked this morning a minute to see what was up there. Now, I'm not saying this... Maybe this is interesting. I don't know. But I just picked out a couple things. So A New School for Megan is up there.
Okay.
That's a print Braille book.
And so let's elaborate. What do you mean print Braille?
So in the Action Fund, we call them twin vision books.
Mm-hmm.
That means they have print and Braille on the pages. So you can either read the Braille or you can read the same thing in print.
Nice.
Yep. And so for kids that are just learning Braille, it's real nice for the families to read with them if they're sighted. But for us blind people, if we want to read to sighted kids, then we have the Braille to read.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So a new school for Megan.
Yeah.
What's another topic?
Oh, here's one. Corky's Hiccups. I'm sure that's quite
that's,
a title.
That's got to be a page turner right there. That sounds like something I need to read.
That's also a print Braille book. Nice. And then there are a lot of titles in just Braille as well. So Captain Cook's Explores the South Seas is available in Braille in three volumes.
Nice.
So those are just the three little titles I brought with me today. But there are very, very many more. And keep looking because we're always putting up new stuff.
Beautiful. Now, the books from the Action Fund, they're, like you said, school age. Is Share Braille limited to just those publications?
No, and Share Braille isn't limited at all. You can put any Braille title up or any print Braille title up.
Yeah. Nice.
So I've seen, for example, people have put up their copies of the Bible because, they don't have space for them or whatever. And that's always good because I've been here many, many years and people are always looking for Bibles. Mm-hmm. So, you can go to sharebraille.org and find Braille Bibles there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we appreciate the many hats that you wear and the work that you're doing here, especially Share Braille. Glad you're able to join us on the program. You have anything to offer to our listeners before we end this
segment? Just one final thing about Share Braille, and that is there's also a place on the Share Braille site where you can, instead of sharing a book, you can donate it for the Braille Book Fair in the summer.
Oh, excellent.
And so, that Braille Book Fair is at our national convention. We're still working out the details of the donate process, but if you can go ahead and go in there if you have something to donate for the book fair and put it in, and then more information is going to be coming out on
Beautiful.
That.
And that's another way we give away Braille books at our convention through our Braille Book Fair.
Yep.
And speaking of donate, there's plenty of donate buttons on the site as well if you'd like to make a financial donation to support these programs.
Absolutely.
Mrs. Maurer, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I hope our listeners take advantage of the Share Braille opportunity, and we're looking forward to building this program to something that really continues to change the world.
Thank you, Anil.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
What a fun program. And it occurs to me that this helps with a lot of resolutions, right? Because not only mm-hmm. can you relax and find things to read and mm-hmm. read to your children or help your children read more, but you can do it for free.
For free.
So if you're, thinking that you're resolution needs to be more financial. Oh, what is the word I'm looking for? Considerations or I don't know. The word's gone.
Mindful?
Mindful. Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. More mindful of your finances. You can do that. And you can still get a lot of books and not have to return them. And therefore you're helping us declutter our space,
which
is another resolution.
I've been hearing this thing about tidy.
My goodness.
Don't go down that path.
I won't, but I've heard a lot about it, and I can't even watch.
Yeah, I understand.
I probably need to, but I can't even do it.
Yeah. But speaking of free, I believe we neglected to tell everybody, but most people already know that in shipping the Braille back and forth, of course, that's free because it goes free matter. So
matter for the blind. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's great.
Wow, this one seems to be going by pretty quickly.
Yeah, we are kind of flying through this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow. But we're missing something. Did you do a presidential privilege this month?
That's right. That's the piece.
Oh, good.
Yes,
yeah.
I did. And as always, it's always an interesting conversation. I like getting the young man to step outside of his presidential persona and actually be real. And I think our members appreciate that as well. We are blessed to have him as the leader of our organization, and I think that it's important, again, for people to see that it's more than just the president. He's a person behind that desk. But in this particular instance, we talk about, resolutions, his personally and the ones he has for the organization. And I think it was a good interview. I'm waiting to hear what our listeners think. So let's listen to the presidential privilege. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. This is Anil Lewis, and I'm here with President Mark Riccobono for the Presidential Privilege. How are you doing, sir?
Great. My privilege to be here in a new year.
Oh, nice.
Still alive.
Good,
it's
good.
Great.
Yeah. And then we got a new intro with it's my privilege to be here.
Yeah.
That's nice. You've been consistent. For most of the time, you usually try to step out and try something new. Well, we have other podcast to look forward to for that.
That's right.
So again, our theme for this podcast, listeners, is our New Year's resolution. So we're going to, one, talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions on a personal level, and then maybe talk about what we're looking at with respect to resolutions for the organizations in 2019. So, President Riccobono, do you have any personal New Year's resolutions you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, my feel like it's a constant effort to, you know, work on improving yourself. So I like probably most Americans, look at January as a time to evaluate my health. Mm-hmm. Think about being a little more fit.
I like the way you say that, yeah, as opposed to just losing weight.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else says I'm going to lose weight.
And I have resolved to get rid of my second house.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, being a landlord was something I never really wanted, but was forced to be. It's not really a resolution, but, you know, we do a lot of hard work in the National Federation of the Blind, and balance is very important. Mm-hmm. Now, I come from a family that has a lot of musical talent in it. My grandparents were both part of the symphony orchestra in Milwaukee.
Oh, wow.
Maybe because I had some degree of blindness, I never inherited those genes very much. At least they were never cultivated much when I was a kid.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? You mean because you were blind, you weren't encouraged to participate?
Well, what I meant was I didn't fulfill the stereotype of, because I am blind, I'm musically inclined. Yeah.
I completely missed it. Okay.
Yeah. You know, when I was in college, like many guys, just a stereotype, I thought the most hip thing I could do was buy a guitar, but never really put a lot of time into the mechanics and making it part of a routine. So I'm trying to do that more. And nice. I think partly it's because I'm a little older, I'm a little more patient. You know, like when you're 18, you're like, yeah, I just want to be able to play this Guns N' Roses song, tomorrow.
with no practice.
Yeah, so it's a good outlet just to kind of let go. And so I've been spending some time on that. So I started the year by buying a new set of strings and restringing my guitar. And
nice.
There you go.
I've heard you play. You're really good.
Well,
you're being humble. Stop it.
A closet guitar player, maybe.
Well, you had a performance here at the center during the present event, and I think you did a really good job.
So, anyway, it's an interesting way to relax.
Nice.
So there you go. Those are some resolutions.
Good. So as you're working on making yourself a better you, the overwhelming responsibility you have as president of the National Federation of the Blind continues to make you strive to make the organization a much better organization. Do you have some resolutions for the National Federation of the Blind?
A couple of things come to mind in that regard. You know, the National Federation of the Blind, we're always evaluating what we do, and mm-hmm. I think that's part of the reason we've been effective. We're always willing to look at what we've done and whether it's still working. In 2019, we're making a renewed commitment to membership, which you'd say, okay, that's not new. As we've grown as an organization, you know, membership starts to mean different things to different people. And membership in our organization is more to us than just give me your $5 and now you're a member.
Absolutely.
And membership means more to us than just saying that you're a member and not showing up to anything. In fact, our pledge calls for active participation. Mm-hmm. So for 2019, we have decided that we really need to continue to bring the conversation back to membership in the National Federation of the Blind and what does it mean. And so this year we're launching a membership medallion that we're giving to all of the members of our organization to spark the conversation about membership in our organization. What does it mean? And also to standardize how we onboard and welcome people into the organization. You know, we vote people in our local chapter here in Baltimore. And we do that to accept them in a formal way. And we're trying to standardize that across all our chapters so that there's a common onboarding experience that people can experience and that really helps to articulate the value of being a member of this organization and, mm-hmm. and making that commitment to not just be in it for yourself as a blind person, but to contribute to the broader community of blind people.
Mm. When you say onboarding, you mean an experience that lets individuals who are interested in joining the organization know better what organization they're joining, what the organization is about?
Yeah, so really standardizing how we our chapters talk to new members, potential members about the organization, what mm-hmm. we do, why we do what we do, which is sometimes overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we tend to let people know, look, we're not merely a social organization.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we're not social.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, being social, breaking bread with each other, getting to know each other in a real way is actually what makes the not merely being a social organization possible.
Mm-hmm. It makes us stronger as an organization.
Yeah, so it's sometimes we overemphasize the, you know, look, we're not just here to have donuts and coffee, which is true. We actually want balance. So really laying that out and making it clear that we welcome all blind people to our organization.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to get into the leadership of the organization, you have to take even more responsibility, though, for being able to articulate the understanding of the organization, the policies, and being willing to push back on those organizations or agencies that really take a contrary view to the Federation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people show up and, you know, they say, well, you know, you should, I'm ready to be president of this chapter. Well, if you don't have any background, no. I mean, you got to learn about the organization first.
Mm-hmm.
So we want people to understand that we welcome everybody getting into the leadership. In fact, that's a core value of ours is training people to be in the leadership. But you have to know enough about the organization. It's not just because you showed up that you can suddenly help run the thing.
That's a pretty ambitious resolution. We're already taking steps to fulfill that.
Yeah, we're working with our local chapters to collect the membership information, distribute these membership medallions.
And they're very nice. I love the way that they're put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to describe them?
No, I think people should become a member. And
there
find
you go.
Out.
Nice. You are the master of the reveal. Good for you. Nice.
You could have one too.
Yeah.
just find your local chapter. And if you're looking for your local chapter, when you, by the time you are listening to this podcast, you'll be able to go to the new and improved nfb.org and experience our new website. You'll
nice.
Find the join section where it talks all about how you become a member, how you find our local affiliates, and I would encourage people to check out the new website. That is, I guess, another resolution is we've really continued our commitment at how we communicate what we do in the organization and making it easier for people to find the resources that we have.
Wow. It's just January, and we're already taking off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, you're setting the bar pretty high to finish 2019. That's pretty good. Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing. And as always, I learn a little more about you every time we talk, even though we've known each other for so many years. I didn't know about the musical talent and history in your family.
Yeah, well, you know, I try not to show how far I fell from the tree.
You haven't fallen. You were just a late bloomer. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe you'll have a performance at our national convention.
Whoa.
Just saying. Anything else you'd like to offer our listeners before we close this segment?
Well, just to say Happy New Year to all the listeners out there and to say that we have already had some great successes in 2019. I would invite everybody as part of their New Year's resolutions to get more plugged into the work of the National Federation of the Blind, into your local chapter and affiliate. And if we don't have a chapter there, that shouldn't discourage you from getting involved. There's lots of opportunities, and maybe you can help build the organization by growing a local chapter. It has to start with somebody somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to connect blind people. We know that so much of life as blind people, we're the standouts. You know, when you go somewhere, you're the only one that's a blind person, especially if you want to get into some of the more interesting things. And I know that I have found that having that touch point of a community of blind people to come back to talk about the frustrations, kind of low expectations that you come across. I had another more derogatory term in mind. you know, being able to laugh about the crazy things that happen with folks that understand that you're not just being a whiner, that it really gets taxing when you're, you know, traveling through an airport and you can't just go about your day. So
I would also offer even sharing those successes. It means that much more when you have that community of blind individuals that really understand, you know, what you're sharing is really powerful, because sometimes people don't understand that, you know, that barrier that you just broke through was a tremendous barrier.
Yeah, absolutely. So inviting people to be part of our organization, to use this year to learn a little more about it. We do know that communicating what we do is one of the most difficult things. We come across people all the time that say, how didn't I know about you before? And we think, gosh, we're investing in more and more communications all the time. It's a great question. So we would invite people to help spread the word and to get involved. And getting involved in our organization means you get to help shape what we do. And that's immensely helpful to me, because I work hard to represent all blind people, not just the musically inclined ones. So having a diversity of opinions and backgrounds is really useful in our shaping what we do to benefit all blind people.
Absolutely. Well said. And with that, you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. So, Melissa, just to get right to it, you know, Ms. Riccobono was really kind of reluctant to talk about his prowess with the guitar. So what is your description of his abilities to?
No, he is a very good player. And in fact, it has been so incredibly exciting to see him taking the time to learn new songs and to just strum the guitar. I think it helps relax him. I love the music around our house. I love singing with the guitar when I have a chance. It's been great. And, you know, he's taken some lessons. But he admits, too, had YouTube been around when he was in college and just starting to learn, he could have really taken off a lot more quickly, because he has found some really good guitar lessons on YouTube for free. And he has particular favorites that are very descriptive. Don't just say, you know, put your fingers here and here. They'll actually say, put your fingers on the third fret and the first fret or whatever it is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he's got a couple that he really likes. And so it's been... the coolest thing has been for me to say, or he'll say, okay, what should I learn next? And I'll say, how about Perfect by Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
And within, I don't know, half hour, hour.
He's playing it.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, this is so, this is so cool.
Busted. I was teasing. I said, you need to play a convention. He kind of tried to bow out of that. No, we're going to put the pressure on. We've got to get
this. Oh, no, it's great. And I actually got an auto harp for Christmas.
Nice.
Really nice one. And that's actually one of my...
Okay,
I can't say resolution. Yeah. My life-changing thing. I really want to learn to play it. I have a little ways to go before I'm kind of ready to take that on. But but it's there. It's in our house. Unfortunately, I broke a string already, so
wow,
I have
to
keep.
You got to it, didn't you?
Anyway, but it
maybe
should
be a duet at the convention.
Possibly
guitar, auto harp. We'll see.
Yeah. That would be kind of interesting. I never really thought about, you know, auto harp is a really interesting instrument. Lots of people haven't heard it. And, you know, I'm learning to play it because I'm not patient enough to learn the guitar, because I just want to learn a song, you know, guitar, piano. There's just too much technical. I just want to play
That's
a song.
Right. The auto harp is that one where you press
the push
button.
Yeah, you push
the
buttons. I'm like, okay, I can push buttons. Yes. So I'm hoping to be able to play fairly quickly. But the funny thing is, the songs I think about playing on the auto harp, I think then, Wonder how that's going to sound on the auto harp. It might be a little bit different. So we'll have to see.
You would think that our discussion about music would be setting the tone for the next podcast, but no.
Nope. We digress. Back.
What are we going to be talking about?
One of my very favorite topics is the next podcast, parenting.
Nice.
Parenting. Now, you know, we missed you all. We know that you were busy with the holidays and with New Year's and getting back in the swing, but we had no feedback on social media.
What?
Wah, wah.
Man, they had us so spoiled.
We were just bombarded
by all
this. We miss you. Please come back.
Maybe they were afraid, like you, to actually commit to making resolutions because we would put it on the podcast.
Probably true.
We'd lock down. Yeah.
Probably true.
Don't be afraid.
We love all of you.
Especially with this topic. We need real buy-in, real participation when we're talking about blind parents.
We do. So we have two questions. One question is, we'd love you to share any tips that you have, any of your favorite blind parenting tips, techniques, mm-hmm. ways you do things, things you wish you had known, you know, then that you mm-hmm. that you know now, favorite products even. I always loved our sit and stroll, which is a car seat that converted into a stroller that you could, you know, pull behind you. And was it the greatest stroller? No, but in certain situations, it was wonderful. So things like that. And our other question, which might pique your interest just a little bit, is if we happen to have a blind parent podcast produced by the National Federation of the Blind, if we had such a podcast, what topics would you like to see covered on that podcast?
There you go.
So those are our two. So please come back. We missed you. We realized you were gone. Think about these and come back, and we would love to have you. And
we should use this information to create a what to expect when you're expecting
as a blind parent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are going to be some changes coming with the Nation's Blind Podcast.
We've resolved to do so.
We have resolved, and we are going to, because, you know, the National Federation of the Blind does keep our resolutions.
Yes.
You know, we have a proud history of resolutions. Be it further resolved and condemning and deploring and all of that. And we always keep those resolutions.
Yes.
So not to say that we don't change them once in a while when you know, we need to, but we definitely keep those. So we are resolving that there will be some changes, and we hope changes for the better mm-hmm. with the Nation's Blind Podcast, because we're resolving to make it more enjoyable, more useful to you.
And we're hoping that you resolve to help us do that. And the way you can do it is reach out to us to provide information, feedback, comments, suggestions.
Absolutely. So you can call us at 410-659-9314, extension 2444.
You can email us at podcast@nfb.org.
You can mention us on Twitter @NFB_voice.
You can post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/National Federation of the Blind, I assume. But you guys who use Facebook know how to find us.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to hearing from you, and we're looking forward to a wonderful 2019.
Yes, absolutely. Happy New Year, Anil. Good 2019
to you. Looking forward to it. Kicked it off well. And remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.